Guys, you have one job. One. Just one job. And that was to go to Boston and close it. Coffee is for closers, folks. And this was not a repeat. What happened in Boston last night was not a repeat of Sunday. Game 4 Sunday in Boston was a team that lost their composure. There's lessons to be gained in how they lose, or how they lost, I should say, on Sunday. And we saw that applied on Tuesday night in Game 5. I know, as Gillio likes to call it, that was a pride game. They went out there, they established it, they played their game, and they once again looked like the team that is absolutely better than the Boston Bruins. Last night was weird in that if you know you're better, if you know they're going to be desperate to stave off elimination, if you know the series ends with you shutting this down tonight and with Game 7, regardless of how you feel about home ice advantage, Game 7s are their own thing, well, why did the Hurricanes look as lethargic as they did last night? It's not like the Carolina Hurricanes didn't have chances last night. They had multiple chances early in the power play. They had nearly a minute's worth of 5-on-3, and that was one of the worst 5-on-3s I've seen from the Canes in a while. So if you're not going to cash in those chances, I mean, they probably had a prime opportunity. I mean, indicative of that 5-on-3, Svechnikov was set up, and he literally whiffed. Literally whiffed. Now, I know Svechnikov had two goals. One of them kept him in the game. The second one was immaterial at that point. But still, when you're whiffing on a 5-on-3 chance, that's kind of indicative of how the night was going to go. And who knows, maybe the tone was set with an inadvertent hit from McAvoy on Sebastian Aho, who had a very uncharacteristically bad night. Sebastian Aho has not been visible at times in Boston, but last night in Boston, he cost them situations with just uncharacteristically bad play out of Sebastian Aho. Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. Here's how he opened the post-game press conference last night.
We had a real good first period. Everything was fine. Been nice to capitalize. We had a couple of real good looks, and we didn't get those. And then, you know, obviously that 5-on-3, we didn't do it right. But we did have a good power play the first one. I think we hit, two crossbars, and maybe even Turbo hit one too. So maybe there would have been three on one of those power plays. But you got to convert, and then we didn't. And then they got that one on we made a mistake, tough change, and got in the best player's hands there, and he made us pay. And so now we're chasing the game a little bit. And it just, every mistake we made felt like they capitalized. And they had that monster shift in the third when we got back in the game. We had the puck like four times, and not how we normally do things. And like I say, that's what you get.
That was Rod Brind'Amour, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. And yeah, he talked about those opportunities that they did not cash in. And I'll just go back to how I started things here. It's a real weird time to have a bad game or not have the energy or whatever, the motivation. The motivation should have been there. Close this thing. Don't give Boston the chance to end your season like in previous years. And let's get to the bottom line and why everybody's butts are tight right now when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes. Unlike those previous years where the takeaway was, hey, excellent season, Canes. You're back in the playoffs. It's just good to be there. You never know what's going to happen, but at least you got in after a 10-year absence. And when you get beat by a team like the Boston Bruins that were in a different window at that time, you go, okay, that's the wall you got to climb. Or like what happens with Tampa. All right, that's what you got to go up against if you're going to go further. So how do you build out to do that? How do you cash in on your window of opportunity? And that's what this series was supposed to be about. Certainly, that's the way it looked after the first two games at home, that the Carolina Hurricanes were a team that had done what they needed to do while Boston was falling out of their window, and they were going to put the hammer down and take care of business. It was not supposed to be potential first-round exit. And the stakes are different in the fourth year that you're making the playoffs and the moves that you've made under Rod Brind'Amour versus the first year you make the playoffs. This has been about making it to the cup. Maybe not winning the cup, because once you get there, man, anything goes. But you at least got to have a sniff of it. I'm even willing to be cool with getting to the Eastern Conference Finals within this window, okay? But what the hell is this? This is not what this postseason was supposed to be about. This potential exit will be viewed as a massive failure for a team that has positioned itself to contend for the cup. You have to at least get out of the first round, guys. With this team? Nah, that's a failure, straight up. And the guys are going to have to bring it. Brendan Moore said after the game that, you know, I think I'm paraphrasing here. He was like, let's be blunt. Not a lot of the guys played well. And he did point out that where he was asked if they started to press, if they started to grip their sticks tight when they found themselves down because it didn't go according to schedule.
A little bit. We got down and we, instead of just sticking with it, we kind of tried to do too much. And, you know, again, playing a team like that, they're going to make you pay when you make those kind of mistakes.
That was right. Brendan Moore, head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes after last night's loss in Boston. So game 7, 4:30 tomorrow afternoon at PNC Arena. What's interesting is that the Bruins and the Canes have followed this pattern in the series. Home team has won ultimately in decisive fashion. Games have been competitive. I know the hockey enthusiasts, the hockey knowers out there will tell you that these games have been closer than the final scores might anticipate. And that holds true if you look at the first and second periods. But then the final scores end up being decisive-looking victories. But that's how it's played out. First two games, Canes end up having pretty decisive-looking victories. Game 3 and 4, Sunday being the debacle. And then obviously game 5, you're thinking the Canes have turned this thing around. They're going to go to Boston and win it. No, it was Boston doing it again with what ended up looking like a decisive victory, even though the Canes had multiple chances to get back in this game. I mean, it was 2-1 at one point. It wasn't completely gone for the Carolina Hurricanes. But if you follow that pattern, they come home, they should be fine. This is what you compete for, right? This is why you want home ice advantage. The problem is that once you get to a game 7, all bets are off. The Carolina Hurricanes clearly have experienced this as well. Canes actually have not lost a game 7. I know that's been making the rounds a lot. They have not lost a game 7, and now they have not all been at home. I mean, what was it? A couple years ago, they won in 7 games against the Washington Capitals up there. So obviously, from experience, you know that visiting team can get it done because the Canes have been that visiting team. That's the point of not chancing it in game 7s. You have worked too damn hard all season and talk to talk to have it boil down to one game in the first round. The first round. So, yeah, I'm annoyed with the Carolina Hurricanes. Not this round, guys. Not against them. Not Boston. Bates Battaglia, part of the Carolina Hurricanes, part of that 0-2 Cup run. He joins us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Bates, what's up, man?
Hey, bud. How's it going?
We're good. All right, so I need for you to explain to me, as a player, what the hell happens on the road. Like, how can you look one way at home, but another way on the road? What happens?
Yeah, it's pretty visible there. It's from what I've seen, it's been kind of two different teams. They've just played with so much confidence at home, but when they get up there, it's you don't even recognize them. It's pretty tough to watch sometimes. You know, you get a glimpse of the style of play they play at home in Boston here and there, but it's just not the full 60 minutes, and that's just not going to work.
Bates Battaglia joining us here on the OG, part of that 0-2 Cup run. He's on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Was there a place like that that you just didn't perform like you typically do on the road?
You know, I don't recall offhand, but I'm sure there was. You know, stuff gets in your head sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you gotta work through it, and you know, you just gotta realize. I think these guys need to realize. You know, they're a great team, and if they play with the confidence that they should. I mean, they can beat anybody, and they gotta pull together, like all pulling on the same rope kind of thing.
Yeah, and I guess that's the next part of it too. I mean, we saw this after Sunday's game where I thought they uncharacteristically lost their composure on Sunday in Boston, and then they had the Pride game 5, and flexed on them. And I'm guessing, as we've seen from this group, as you said, they know they're good, they know they're better than this. So, what kind of conversations do you think take place? You know, you go back to your playing days. What kind of conversations take place on that bounce back?
Well, and I think it's something that Roddy's going to put in their heads, and you know, some of the leaders, the guys have been around a while, that you know, it's do or die. It's one game. I mean, it's the most important game of the year, and you know, there's the, you can't make any mistakes. And I mean, that may seem like a little bit of pressure, but when you're as good as team they are, you got to be able to do that. It's all about execution, and they gotta bring everything they got tomorrow, because both of them are back, you know, their backs are against the wall. So, you know, game sevens are scary because, you know, anything can happen. Bad bounce, good bounce, anything. So you got to be ready for anything.
You brought up the bounces, and we'll close the conversation on this. I know after game five, Rod talked about they got good bounces. That Seth Jarvis goal is a prime example of a good bounce. I mean, how does it go off a skate, you know, over the goalie who swats at it and into the net? I mean, that's insane. I'm still trying to process how that all played out. But he said they worked to get those good bounces. Last night they got bad bounces. You know, is that just a power through situation? Is what Rod's talking about, is that you work to get those good bounces? Like, walk me through that.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, everybody's working for those, and you know, they're going to go one way or the other. And you know, that's something where if you're consistently driving the net, getting traffic and stuff like that, that stuff's going to happen. And you just hope it happens more on your side than the other. And if it doesn't, you know, that's one of those cases where, you know, you're never too high and you're never too low. You know, it happens for the other guys. You can't be down on yourself. You got to get right back at it, get going, and, you know, next thing you know, it's going to happen for you.
Bates Pataglia, part of that 0-2 Cup run. We appreciate the time, man. Hopefully we'll talk next week about round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I definitely like our chances on that.
All right. I like our chances, too, if the pattern holds. Bates Pataglia, appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy.
Game six between the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. Not great for the Canes. Thing is, much like the other games, it was a little closer than the final score might indicate. The disturbing part about last night was, I know you can get a little too wrapped up in this stuff, energy, right? This was not game four. On Monday, I roasted the Canes because they deserve to be roasted. They lost their composure. They gave in to what Boston is about when you know they should be better, and they know they are better. So they lost their composure. It was just not a good display on Sunday. But the one thing about the Carolina Hurricanes that they've been consistently good at under Rod Brind'Amour is bouncing back, applying the lesson. As Gillio likes to call it, the pride game kicks in. Well, that's exactly what happened in game five. So going into game six, my thought was, all right, you learned your lesson from Boston. You took care of business at home. Now it's time to go shut this thing down. Instead, what we ended up getting from the Carolina Hurricanes was them not stepping up when they had the chance to close it down. In a series where we've talked about special teams being the difference, because we know they're better than the Bruins 5-on-5. So a lot of our conversation is about not putting yourself in the penalty kill stress tests, okay? They're good at the penalty kill, but don't tempt it, man. Don't stress test it, which is what we saw in the second period of Game 4 in Boston. The other part of this is, and we saw this come to fruition in Game 5, punching in the power play opportunities. It was the latter last night. They had a few power play opportunities early on, the biggest one being a two-man advantage that they had for about a minute. And I'm not really sure they created much of those high-danger chances we talk about all the time for the Carolina Hurricanes. That 5-on-3 was a lethargic mess. And all I can ask is, why? Because it's a really weird time to have a bad game and not have the energy or whatever, the motivation. The motivation should be there. They knew it. I mean, you look at some of the quotes going into the game, they talked about, well, you don't want to leave chance to a game seven, so let's just close this thing out now. It wasn't necessarily there. And you know, you can single out Sebastian Aho. At least with Sebastian Aho, I can explain it. Dude got hit by McAvoy in a really awkward bang-bang collision. I don't think there was anything malicious about it. Aho came up slowly, and I don't think he was the same player the rest of the game. Clearly by the giveaways. He was a full participant in practice today. I know Jordan Martinook was also a full participant in practice today, so those are good signs. And Aho is too good of a player to have back-to-back nights of that. And we also know that at home they've been different too. But let's get to the bottom line. This is not like previous playoff trips. This has been a slow build over the last 4 years to take advantage of a window. The moves that you made were shrewd. You knew you had to upgrade in net, and they did with Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, who, by the way, doing your boy dirty on his birthday. I hope the cake was good, because everything else was pretty terrible for Antti Raanta last night, who gave them chances to get back in this game multiple times. So I'll leave Raanta out of the conversation of what we saw last night, because he did his job. But the moves that they made were shrewd. You look at Tony DeAngelo. Say what you want about Tony DeAngelo and what it kind of exposed with the Carolina Hurricanes' marketing messages versus the reality of winning a sporting event. They found themselves a market inefficiency, whereas Bomani Jones, who will join us in about 10 minutes or so, the scratch and dent. They got the discount on Tony DeAngelo. Cost him $1 million. If it didn't work out, you get rid of him. Like Eric Halla, who, by the way, scored on him last night. They didn't like Eric Halla in the room? Get the hell out. Guy's been a little bit of a pest in the last couple series, Nashville being the last one, and now he's the pest here with the Boston Bruins. So you basically got replacement-level production out of Tony DeAngelo for Dougie Hamilton for, what, $7, $8 million less? Yeah, that was a shrewd move that's paid off. And DeAngelo has, at least in Game 5, backed up a terrible performance in Game 4 with 3 points. So, one quick side note about Tony DeAngelo, by the way. I understand there are people who were done with the Canes because of Tony DeAngelo. I said what I had to say about Tony DeAngelo. The dude has let you know what he's about. But I also know that sports is a business, and ultimately you want to win games. And sometimes you take on people that give you a good chance that you might not necessarily agree with all the things that they say. Okay, I got that. Shout out to the people who, when they acquired Tony DeAngelo, were like, dunzo with the Canes. Cool. But man, if Tony DeAngelo does something embarrassing on the ice, who are the first people to tweet it out? The people who said they weren't caring about Tony DeAngelo and the Carolina Hurricanes. I see you. I see your tweets. The minute Tony DeAngelo has a turnover, it's, well, there's, y'all. Dude has been more productive than not all season long, okay?
He's got like 9 points right, this series.
Right, there are two conversations here, okay? But if we keep it strictly to the ice, he's been good, okay? It's been settled. That debate's been settled. It paid off for the Canes. So I find it hilarious when DeAngelo has, like, a mistake, like a bunch of other people. But when he does it, oh, man, oh, see? There it is. It's like, y'all, that ain't it. I mean, I use Tony DeAngelo as the big picture, like, what he did chucking the stick at Brad Marchand at the end of the game on Game 4 was symbolic of the entire game. It wasn't just singling him out. It's just, if you want the moment that encapsulates the frustration and the lack of composure, well, there it is. But it wasn't specifically about him. So I just kind of found that a little bit of that was amusing.
Yeah.
So Game 7 tomorrow, PNC Arena, 4:30. We'll have the game on 99.9 The Fan, obviously. Rod Brind'Amour, who has talked about good bounces and bad bounces. You know, for instance, Game 5, we're still trying to process what the hell happened with Seth Jarvis, right? Where it goes off the skate of a Boston Bruin, goes up and over Swayman as he tries to swat it away. Instead, he ricochets it again, and it goes into the goal. Those are good bounces, but as Rod Brind'Amour had talked about after Game 5, those were good bounces that they earned. They put the work in and got the good bounces to go along with it, which is hockey. I mean, that's hockey in a nutshell, man. Rod, on the bad bounces they got last night.
Just don't know. Even tonight, it's the bounce here, bounce there early, and the game's different. You know, that's hockey. I mean, they're power play. They rip one, we block it, and it goes right to their guy. It just, you don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, obviously, but the good news is we have, another game to play.
Yes. Yes, they do have another game to play. And based off how things have been going for the Carolina Hurricanes, they should be able to make it happen in Game 7. But here's the bottom line. Unlike previous years, where the takeaway of the Canes making the playoffs was, hey, excellent season, guys. Good job. I like where the future's going. Rod Brind'Amour's changed the culture, all those other things. But part of that culture change is the expectations are going to get higher every year, and that's where we are right now. That is not how a potential exit on Saturday is going to be processed or viewed. If they lose on Saturday, it's going to be viewed as a failure. No discussion. End of discussion. No debate. If they lose on Saturday, this whole season, for naught. And that's a massive failure on the shrewd moves that they've made and what they tried to do this season and what they were trying to establish themselves as. For a team that positioned itself to contend for the Cup, you got, in my book, at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. At least. And then even there, not get swept. It's as simple as that.